It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm is gone. James Hamm has left the building. We printed out rundowns so we could do the program today, and we forgot to get them. So James was out getting them, and now he's here. We are back. Not unlike the Sacramento Kings, who sweep their three-game homestand. In fact, that's going to be our Jiffy Lube teamwork keyword of the day. We're just getting it out of the way early today.
All right.
Sweep. Enter that word at ESPN1320.com in the Jiffy Lube contest page, and you'll be entered to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie, the one James is wearing today. You can win that. If you want to see what that looks like, if you're listening on the radio, tap in at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and you can see that. You can enter to win one of those again at ESPN1320.com with the code word SWEEP, because that's what the Kings did on their three-game homestand. They took care of business. They beat the Houston Rockets. They take care of business against the Wizards. They take care of business against the Warriors last night, 123-117, and now they hit the road.
I think the best term that you use here is they took care of business.
That's it.
Like, those are all, okay, so the Rockets are a very difficult team, but the other two are not. And you have to take care of business against bad teams, because good teams are on their way. Yep. Denver, New York, Minnesota, OKC, there are good teams on the horizon here. And if you don't take care of business at home before you head out on a six-game road trip, you're setting yourself up for disaster. Well,
and if you entered last night at 30 and 12, is that right? 42, 30, 12, yeah. If you entered last night at 30 and 12, any slip up, nah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff happens. But because of that hole they put themselves in at 13 and 19 to start the year, you can't lose that game last night. And man, it really looked like they were going to. I texted you after the first quarter and I was like, this is a weird start. That's a weird start.
Oh, yeah.
Golden State hit everything they threw at the basket, and the Kings didn't, and it's tied, but it felt like the energy did not feel, it felt very Bucks-ish.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors just weren't good enough to pull away early the way the Bucks did. And I said, I can't remember if I said this to you, but my thought was, okay, well, second quarter, they'll foot on the gas. They're awake now. They'll put this one away and they'll win this one by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went down by 18.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no. Like, what? But on the other hand, again, because I still follow the Warriors as closely as I can, I also know that Golden State has tricked every lead they've had this year, whether they end up winning the game or not. Like, that was going to be a one possession game at some point. But it wasn't that it got to one possession. It was how quickly it happened that was super impressive. It was like the Kings came out after halftime and went, all right, let's be serious here.
Well, did the Kings do that, or did DeMar DeRozan do that? Because it felt like DeMar DeRozan said, you know what, I don't like what's happening, and this makes me feel uncomfortable and icky, and I'm done with this feeling, and I'm just going to backpack this entire team.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 19 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, like just the late three.
Along.
Yeah, just like he was so spectacular in that quarter. And like overall, like you could see him start to run out of gas and you're like, oh, okay, someone else has to take over.
Sure.
And you started to get players taken over. You got to a little bit of Malik Monk. De'Aaron Fox couldn't buy a bucket at all, but he got to the free throw line and hit all of his free throws. So there were these little moments where you're like, okay, this thing is not going well. Deep in the third, in the fourth quarter, the Kings' biggest lead in the game was 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they took the lead in the, was it late third or early fourth? They took the lead and it was their first lead since like 11:36 of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Well, they took a lead and then they gave up like an 8-0 run.
Yes.
Like
immediately.
It was a 9-0. It was three threes in a row.
Yeah, two from Buddy and one from Moses Moody.
Yeah, in the span of like 40 seconds. It was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
They may not be okay in this game. And there were multiple times during that game where it's like, oh, I don't know if they're going to pull this one out.
Yeah.
But then again, like you watch their defense rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
I think Doug did some interesting things. He tried his zone for a little bit. That was kind of weird. But You're going to need a zone against the Denver Nuggets.
Got to have different looks. Yep.
Yeah. It, especially you're going to need a zone because, again, you're playing on the second night of a back-to-back. You had to go full tilt against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. So everyone had to play major minutes. Yep. And on top of that, you know, we talked about it a couple of times. You're talking about a three-hour flight last night. They land. And it's so cold in Denver, it's ridiculous. You have to worry about the hour drive to from the airport to your hotel, but also icy roads and everything else. There's an hour time change. Then you're playing at elevation. Like, you're going to need a zone tonight because the Denver Nuggets require that, mm-hmm. but also because you're going to be gassed.
Yep.
And I don't know who can step up and help this team, but it sure does feel like the five or six guys to play, well, the six guys to play mm-hmm. the majority of the minutes. And what else?
That's right. And that's where I don't want to take the conversation back into the depth conversation yeah. we always have, but you said it about DeRozan, who played 39 minutes last night, by the way. The Kings won by, was it six?
120, yeah, 123. 26. But yeah,
so they won by six. DeMar DeRozan ran a plus 26.
Oof.
Kevin Herter was a minus 10 in 6 minutes.
It was not a good 6 minutes either.
But anyways, one of the things that jumped out to me last night, and I think this is something that Kenny and D'Lo and Casey has been trying to get across.
Mm-hmm.
In a world full of 3-point shooting teams, you have to hoist threes. You have to be able to get threes up. That's just imperative. But I don't think... That doesn't mean the value of the 2-point shot has gone away. And you saw it last night, and the contrasting styles between how the Warriors play and how the Kings climb back into that game was so, so stark. Because Golden State's offense is a work for a three. Everything that's happening, every blender they're trying to run through, every pass they make, every screen they make is trying to get an open corner three. Or an open three above the break.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everything their offense is predicated on. They need a bucket late in that game. All right, where's the open three? And there's so much that that's such a volatile way to play offense. Because, yeah, hey, maybe you knock down a bunch, but also maybe you go through a stretch where, what, they start 2-for-11 in the second half?
Yeah.
Maybe you're 2-for-11, and then maybe you're also turning it over. So those are you put up 13 shots, you make three of them, and you've turned the ball over a bunch of times, and now all of a sudden your 18-point lead is nothing because the opposing team, now this is where the contrast in style comes in, it's DeMar DeRozan, mid-range jumper. It's De'Aaron Fox getting to the rack. It's Malik Monk getting to the rack. It's Domantas Sabonis getting to the hoop mm-hmm. or getting an offensive rebound and going up with the putback. Their ability to go, okay, here's this run. We're going to stop it with a 2-pointer and get to the line. Oh, and then we're going to get a turnover. Oh, and then we're going back to the free throw line. We've slowed the game down. We're just chipping away. Hey, the 18-point lead is now 16. Oh, and there's a 3-point play. Now it's 13. Oh, they turned it over. Oh, hey, hit a three. Now it's 10. Oh, got another two. Okay, now it's 8. That ability to just chip away is unbelievably invaluable. And I know that so, if you ask Doug Christie, he'd probably tell you, yeah, 33s is not enough. You need to shoot more than that. Mm-hmm. They got outscored by 33 points
from behind
the three-point line.
Wild.
If the Warriors, we were talking about it before the show, if the Warriors are 25% better, the Kings get blown out last night.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a formula conducive to winning necessarily, but in a game like last night, because you got to play who's in front of you, the style that the Kings play is the reason that they won that game. That ability to just get 2 points, get a stop, get a bucket is massive. And on the Warriors side, you saw it. It was, oh, hey, there our 18-point lead is down to 8. We need a 3. Who's going to hit it?
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Well, I'm looking at some of the like standard stats. Like the Warriors made 43 buckets mm-hmm. and the Kings made 41. The Warriors hit 22 threes, the Kings hit 11.
Mm-hmm.
So already you're looking at a negative 35-point deficit, mm-hmm. right? Like that's big. Like, how do you make that up?
But then at the free throw line?
Yeah. That's
the Warriors only shot 13 free throws last night.
Yep.
And that's not an officiating thing, that's a play style thing.
Of course.
They live on the perimeter and that's why you're not going to get a lot of free throws. In fact, Andrew Wiggins shot 5 of them. 3 of them came because he got fouled on a 3.
Mm.
Like that's just kind of where they're going to live. They go 9 points from the free throw line. The Kings got 30.
They make up
21 points right there.
Yeah, they go 30 of 32 from the line. You know, we talked about that. Like
so
last year, the Kings lost 5 games on the season at least, mm-hmm. just on free throw shooting alone. This year, they're finding ways to win on free throw shooting. And it's something like in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. they are absolutely nails.
Yep.
Like watching them go step to the line is like, okay, you're not even like panicking.
Last year it used to be like De'Aaron last night got to the line, they were up 2.
Mm-hmm.
And De'Aaron goes to the free throw line. And last year, you don't feel good about that.
No.
You're going, God, make one. Just make it a 3-point game. And he just goes calmly cashes 2.
Yeah.
Didn't even hit the rim. It's such a huge deal. And I know free throws are free throws. Like nobody enjoys watching free throws, but they're key down the stretch.
Yeah, and now the Kings are. I mean, they were first in the league in free throw percentage.
Still be there.
They're second at 81.3%.
Who's shooting better than 81.3% as a team?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just know that that's what, like.
I'm looking.
Okay.
I need to know who this magical team is.
That's shooting better than
81% from the free throw line as a team. That's crazy.
It's funny. You also brought up the 2-pointers, right?
Oklahoma City, 82.8.
There we go.
Of course.
The Kings are third in the league in 2-point makes, 6 and 2-point attempts,
mm-hmm.
and 8 and 2-point percentage. This team does shoot a lot of twos. You know, you're trying to get that 3-point percentage up. You're trying to get the mm-hmm. 3-point, like your attempts up, but at the end of the day, the Kings are still like kind of grinding, and they haven't got there yet.
But I think that's okay if you're.
Yeah.
Doug has talked a lot about this, and Doug, like we're best friends. Doug Christie, the head coach, has talked a lot about this, where they're trying to establish that identity, and if that's your identity, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be a grinded out team on offense, which. They're not always going to be, but that's where the game falls sometimes. You just have to be able to match that defensively, and I think they do. You have to have that same toughness and that same grit on the defensive end where you're not giving up a bunch of threes and trading it for twos, which is what we saw early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think whatever their identity is, they're finding it pretty quickly here. The other thing that jumps out statistically, you were mentioning, you know, the Kings get outscored by 33 at the 3-point line, and the Warriors had 19 turnovers, and the Kings had 8.
Oh, yeah.
That is 8 turnovers in an NBA game is massive.
That's something that they...
That's a big deal to not... Like, that's not a... That's a very small number. Having 8 turnovers is massive in a good, way.
Yeah, totally. They're averaging 13 turnovers a game, which is 4th best in the league. It's one of the things that's quietly happened. Number one, the free throw shooting. Number mm-hmm. two... the lack of turnovers, and it's almost every game. You know, we had that stretch early in the season where you remember Sabonis turned the ball over like 35 times
yeah,
in
it was
5
weird.
Games.
Yeah.
And it was like, what is happening? And they've cleaned that up, a lot of it. So even Malik Monk, you know, has moments, you know, including last night where he dunked the ball through the rim, it bounced off the top of his head and went back through the rim and he didn't get the points. That was not a good look, but
that's an insane thing to have happen.
There's the little mistakes that were made, like the Kings were able to overcome those, and that's because they're sticking together and they're figuring mm-hmm. out ways to fight through. And again, I hat tip to DeMar DeRozan last night. I thought he was one of those catalyst guys that just like said, hey, look, we're not doing this. I'm 35 years old. I can't keep putting up with this. And we're going to win this game. And I think if there's one thing I would say, the Kings' identity that's developing is a team that is gritty and finds different ways to win.
Yep.
And it's not always the same thing.
Yep.
It's not we're going to beat you by 25. It's not we're going to hit a bunch of threes. It's not we're going to be a defensive like juggernaut. It's that we're going to figure out whatever way it is tonight to win. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to do.
It's that adaptability.
Yeah.
Yep. Drew Down pointed this out in the Chatty House. And I just wanted to confirm it, and I have 28-0 in fast break points.
Oh, wow.
For the Kings. 28-0. They give up 0 fast break points.
Mm.
The Warriors had 2 fast break opportunities. The Kings had 10, and they turned them into 28 points.
Wow. I'd also point
out... Also, 27 points off of the Warriors' 19 turnovers. Golden State got 16 points off the Kings' 8 turnovers.
Yeah. Those are big numbers.
Yep.
That's how you close a gap. And I'm sure points in the paint, the Kings dominated the points in the paint.
They did not.
Oh, really?
Stunningly. They won it by 2.
Oh, that's crazy.
44 to 42.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to tell you that like this is like a benchmark win and all that stuff. It's just it's a solid in an 82-game season.
Win.
It's just one of 82 in the win column.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those games where, like, if you lose it, it would have had a lot more than if you beat that team. Because everyone kind of knows where the Warriors are right now. And, you know, I think, again, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, if this is 5 years ago, we're like, holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What a win.
Yeah, even 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was the other thing that jumped out. That's professional radio by you. 3 years. So I want to talk about this as well, because we literally talked about this yesterday before the game when discussing trade possibilities, or mm-hmm. a couple days ago, whenever we talked about this. And my whole thing was, why are you worried about a pick in 2028 or 2029 if you're the Kings? Mm-hmm. If you have an opportunity to deal that pick today to give yourself a better chance to compete for a conference championship appearance or a finals appearance now, why would you not? Why would you not get as high as, raise your ceiling as high as humanly possible now? And you kind of made the point, like, sure, but also, like, 3 years is a long time. Four years, a lot, like, a lot can change. And I think you have to look no further than Golden State. This is a team that, like we just said, good win.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose to that team for sure, especially before going on the road to play Denver on the second night of a back-to-back, and then two nights later going to New York to play the Knicks, like two really quality teams.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to end your homestand with a loss to a team that's banged up, struggling, just everything that you can be, everything you can have go wrong in a season. Golden State's had go wrong for a month and a half.
Well, that, and if you lose that game, you're potentially looking at the possibility of a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah, where you're now back under 500.
Yeah.
Yeah, back under 500.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, it would be tough.
Gone sideways. Yep. Right. So you need to win last night. Good win. Comeback is great. But Golden State won a title 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It feels like 10.
Yeah.
And so, like, you just look at how much is, when you look at their roster, it's Steph was on that team, Andrew Wiggins is on that team, Gary Payton II, Kevon Looney, Draymond Green. But then, like, Moses Moody was there, but not super contributing.
Well, I think that's the other layer I would like to, like,
nobody who came off the bench last night
put in here
contributed for Golden State in their last title run.
Well, and I get what your point is, that like if there's a draft pick that you have to trade down the road, go ahead and do it, because it's about getting better today, mm-hmm. and about worrying about tomorrow.
Thank you. Yes.
Right. And I get that. And I'll add the other layer in. A draft pick, there's never been a surefire can't miss except for LeBron James we've seen.
But even in that draft, Darko Milicic was like, yo, this is also the guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
well, it's a great draft. I mean, the top five is like four superstars and Darko Milicic. It stands out like
that's so tough.
Just a really, I mean, it's like it's Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James with
Darko.
And then Darko. But here's the point that I would make.
Yeah.
It's that we're still waiting in year three to know what Keegan is. The Warriors are still waiting to know what Kuminga is. They're still waiting to know what Moody is. They know that James Wiseman was no good. His second pick mm-hmm. in the draft, gone, right? So draft picks, not only do you have, are they just a coin flip, mm-hmm. complete coin flip when it comes down to it,
mm-hmm.
but on top of that, you may not know what a 2027 draft pick is really as a player mm-hmm. until 2030. That's like, it's the really tough reality of the situation. I mean, the Kings, like, God bless Davion Mitchell, number 9 pick in the draft. He's no longer with the team because, like, in all honesty,
and he's struggling in Toronto.
He wasn't good enough to play their style of basketball, and he's on to a different team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you can hold on to these things so tightly and think that you've got something, but at the end of the day, you might have nothing. Mm-hmm. Even a top pick, you might have nothing. Like, yeah. They're so... Markelle Fultz was the top pick in the... Number one pick in the draft.
And was supposed to be that dude.
In a great draft.
In a that very draft, good draft.
That draft from top to bottom has, like...
And that's not hindsight. That was that year. It was like, dude, the top, like, 12 guys in this draft are going
to
be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get to Fox at 5, but then it's, like, Jonathan Isaac followed by Lauri Markkanen. Then there's a couple of misses. There's, sure. There's, not, like, yeah. your... what was it? Dennis Smith and... Frank
Ntilikina?
Yeah, yeah.
Frankie Smokes?
Yeah, and then, you know, even Zach Collins at number 10, not great. But you start getting to 11, you're looking at Malik Mook, you're looking at Donovan
John
Mitchell.
Collins is in there, we talked about that yesterday.
Bam Adebayo, OG Anunoby, Kyle Kuzma.
Man.
I mean, that draft filled up the league with very high-end role players and a couple of all-stars. Yeah, so...
I should say, though... It's a little bit different because 3 years ago, Steph Curry was 33.
Yeah.
And it was really clear, like, that aging happens quickly. The Kings are in a spot where their top guys are entering their primes. Where in 3 years, assuming those guys are still around, you're probably not seeing the drop-off that Golden State's off and Draymond and Steph and Clay.
But in 3 years, you're still looking at a 30-year-old De'Aaron Fox and a 31, 32-year-old Domantas Sabonis. So, and then, again, if you're trading in 2027, on top of that, you might not know who that player is for another 3 years on top of that. Mm-hmm. So now you're looking at a 33, 34-year-old Domantas Sabonis, 33-year-old De'Aaron Fox, and you hope that they're able to continue on whatever you're building. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there is no guarantee.
It's just so crazy how fast things change in the NBA.
Yeah.
That was the big takeaway for me. All that said, I'd still trade the picks.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be cautious, right? And you also have to look out in front of you and you know, do your advanced research on what these drafts can look like. Because just because we're 3 years away from a draft doesn't mean that everyone doesn't know who the top players are in that draft. I mean, everyone knows, like, the Boozer twins are coming.
Yeah.
Not this season, but next season.
You would probably be alarmed at how much NBA teams know about, like, sixth graders.
It's weird. Yeah. At least the good teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. The good teams.
They're scouting AAU.
Yeah.
From, I mean, but well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in, like, European soccer.
Oh, that's even worse.
You've got kids entering programs at age 8.
Yeah, I think Messi signed, well, Ronaldo signed with his club when he was like 6.
Come on.
And Messi's like 5 or 6. Like Marcus Rashford for Man U has been in the program, I think, either 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not, NBA teams aren't just now going, all right, let's see who's in the college ranks. Like, nah, man. The guys in college now, they've been watching for 5 years.
Oh yeah,
they've been knowing.
No, it's what's coming. So that's why looking at like the 2027 draft, like the Kings should already have an outline of okay, how valuable is that draft?
I think that's part of why you see teams looking for 2031 picks.
Oh yeah,
like
well, that and they also are projecting like who their team is going to be then and how bad a team is going to be. So again, you know, we're talking about 7 years. We're talking at a point where, you know, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox won't be the same players if they're still on the team.
Yeah.
You know, Keegan Murray will be like a 31, 32-year-old. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where we're talking about.
Man.
That's a long time from now. And that's why a team like San Antonio is looking at that and saying, okay, well, we know that our 20-year-old superstar is going to be 27 then.
Right. Yeah.
And now we have more, you know, to add to what we're building if they can keep him and all that stuff.
They can't keep getting away with this. To quote Jesse Pinkman.
Oh.
Ridiculous. Slow start last night bother you at all?
I mean, sure. I don't know.
I just don't want complacency to set in because like I said, if Golden State is any team in the top 10 in the West and the Kings play like they did to start that game last night, I don't think they win.
Okay, maybe. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I also think like this team has an ability to like crank it up in a different way.
Sure.
And they're always in games. So, I mean, even, you know, the game that ends up being the end of, you know, Mike Brown's run here in Sacramento, I mean, they lost on a foul on a 3-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like the game was still there. They had all of those games. So what we talked about,
weren't they up like 17 in that one though?
Maybe. I mean, that game seems like it's 5 months ago. But at that point, they're 3-11 in games decided by 5 points or less. And that might have even made them 3-12. I don't know what the number was, but it was adding on to what was already bad that was happening.
Yeah.
And so when I look at that, they need to figure out how to win games no matter what.
And
that's who they are. And so, I'm hoping
complacency isn't setting in.
No, I'm
where
with
all
you.
Of a sudden, night in and night out, they're having to, because that's just not a way that's conducive to winning a lot of basketball games.
No, but I think you can also look at their team and go, they're not firing on all cylinders right now, and they keep winning.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Like, it's very there's true. A huge, like...
They've raised their floor significantly over the last month.
Yeah, totally. And I would also say, like, there's got to be, like, we're not going to, like, hit the red button and sound the alarm, but there has to be at least some concern about De'Aaron Fox's numbers over the last 4 or 5 games and just like his play and what's happening on the court. I think defensively he was incredible, but all of the other things that go into winning basketball weren't really there last night. And you're sitting there watching there's a lack of like force and energy there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he doesn't look like a player who wants to go to the basket. After taking the big spill against Memphis.
Maybe I'm alarmist here. He looks like his gait is weird.
He looks like he's hurt.
He looks like he's walking like it hurts.
Yeah.
So we'll see. One thing I will say about the slow start last night. DeMar DeRozan 4 points on 2 of 5. He had a board, an assist, a steal, and a block. Malik Monk 4 assists, 2 points, but those were at the free throw line. He went 0 for 4. De'Aaron was 1 for 3, 2 points, no other stats. Keegan 5 points, 1 of 3 from 3, a rebound. And then there's Domas, 7 points, 5 boards on 3 of 4.
He's just such a workhorse.
Can
dude.
We follow my guy here? Can everybody get on board and follow him?
It's just weird.
Everybody looked like they could. That was the last place they wanted to be, and there's Domas. Like, it's game 7 in the finals.
Yeah, ripping down every rebound. He's up to 14.2 rebounds per game.
Oh, it was so funny.
He drills his first 2 threes. He's at 48.5% from 3.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
Yeah. Heck of a player. All right. That was a heck of a first segment. We got to step aside for a moment. We'll look ahead to tonight's game. Not the Warriors here at Golden 1 Center. The Nuggets and the Kings are at Ball
Pepsi?
Arena?
Pepsi Ball?
Ball Arena?
Something like that, yeah.
I think that's right.
I think it is Ball. Yeah. It used to be the Pepsi.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think it's Ball Arena out in Denver. We'll look ahead to that game. And more Kings trade reports.
Yeah.
That we'll get to.
Something like that.
I think. We'll talk about it. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And this is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. I don't know why I always say that, because we have a thing where the voice guy says it. And here he is. Nuggets tonight in Denver. James Hams there. I'm Kyle Mads, and we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Kings looking to make it 4 consecutive wins. I'll tell you what, man. If Sacramento wins tonight, it would be the win of the year. And I say this with all due respect to the 2 wins at home against the Rockets. Awesome wins. The one in Boston, obviously an outstanding win, but second night of a back-to-back where you had to play big minutes in a close game the night before, then going to Denver where it's notoriously difficult to play, plus all the factors that you have discussed, late flight, hour drive to the hotel, you're not getting to bed until 4:30 in the morning, then you got to get up and you got to go play a game at altitude against Nikola Jokic, who might win the MVP, and a Nuggets team that's playing really well right now. A Nuggets team that's trying, by the way. They are not in a spot that they can just give up games. Like, that's why Boston, really good win for the Kings, but also, like, that wasn't the best version of Boston we've ever seen. You're going to get the Nuggets' best shot tonight. And if you go into Ball Arena, that's just what I'm calling it, whether that's the name or not.
It is.
You're going into Ball Arena. That is insane to me that a mason jar mogul.
Well, not a mason jar. That's Mason. Ball is a different brand of glass jar.
Right. That's a, okay. But okay. But when you see a, but if I say, if I Google mason jar, Ball mason jars are going to come up.
Okay.
Is that not right? Is that wrong?
No, Mason is a brand of jar.
I'm Googling mason jar right now. I'm sorry, everybody. We're getting sidetracked.
We're getting sidetracked.
But mason jar. Look, mason jar. First thing that comes up, Ball mason jar.
Oh, okay.
I guess canning jars, 16-ounce Ball mason jars.
It's a canning jar.
It literally says Ball and then Mason underneath.
Maybe
it.
Ball and Mason are the same company. Maybe
you can
they
get Mason's balls in a jar, according to the internet.
Is that Plumlee?
Or Frank. That's TBD. That's a, it's the same thing. Anyways, I'm glad we've sorted that out. That was very important to the people that want to hear about the Kings and Nuggets.
We've lost our way. It's fine.
The Nuggets playing in Ball Arena is kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's a little bit funny if you're 12 years old. Anyways, back to this. That's why I think it'd be the best win of the year, because you're going to get a good team's best shot. You're on the second night of a back-to-back. You're in a notoriously difficult place to play. If you can go get a W tonight, it would be the best win of the year for me.
Okay, so...
And you're avenging a really brutal loss to them at home earlier this year when DeMar DeRozan dropped the dime from Sabonis.
Oh, that's true. That's
anyways,
true.
Go on. Sorry.
My goodness. That loss, and then you partner that with the Detroit Pistons loss. Where would the Kings be in the standings if it wasn't for those two?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, because
two spots higher, probably
things would be very different. You would have a different head coach still, most likely. Lots of things would be different. Like if I go back to the 2022-23 season, this is a type of game where the Kings would shock you and win. And it was always, you know, they struggled early in the season on the second night of a back-to-back, right? They started like 0-4, 0-5 on the season, mm-hmm. on the second night of a back-to-back. But then as we got deeper and deeper into the season, they started picking up wins where you did not think they had any chance to win. And that was a sign of resiliency. It was a sign of other teams overlooking them. And it's something you need to get back to. And so far, that's what we're seeing from Doug Christie. You know, again, outside of the loss to the Lakers, the only other loss they have is in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
on the back end of a road trip without Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, they've won every other game. I mean, they're 10-2 under Doug Christie. And that first game, like, everything happened hours before the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is a team that's showing you something. And so I agree with you. This is a moment where it could be one of the signature win, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a signature win if you go in and lose to the Knicks by 40 the next night, two nights later, or if you drop another game to the Nets like you did earlier in the season. It has to be a series of victories. And I kind of feel like that's where this team is, but they still have to show it. They still have to, you know, I think Doug Christie has every game way up high on the chalkboard. I don't know how, if there's a step ladder, or however he gets up there, or if he's
6'6", 7",
no,
whatever he is.
It's super high. It's above like a 90-inch television. Way above that, there's this little section of whiteboard up there,
mm.
and Doug Christie has been writing phrases up there, and even last night it was MEB, which everyone's like, okay, what does that mean? And I think it stood for make 'em believe.
I think it stands for Mike Effing Brown.
Oh yeah, I saw you post that. Yeah, but it's one of those things where you're trying to build this different culture, and it's the us against the world mentality that Doug is bringing.
Yeah,
and you hope that it carries over, and you hope that, you know, on a 6-game road trip, you know, 4-2 isn't out of the realm of possibility. 3-3 is sitting there for you. What you don't want is a 1-5 or a 2-4.
No doubt.
Like, just go in there and battle. But I think at this point, every game the Kings walk into, I think a lot of us are starting to think, well, they could win this game. Like, yeah. I don't think there's any game yet. The one game that we thought, oh, there's no way you're going to beat Boston, they went in there and thrashed them. And so now you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is more like the 2022-23 team where you really felt like every single night the Kings had a very, very good chance to win.
Yeah, I think you can separate that from this would be a really great win to go get.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also think if they just go play well, I don't care if you lose by one. For me, if you're just looking for just a continued upward trajectory, I don't think that means you need to win every single night. Obviously, you'd like to win every game. Obviously, they're going to try to win every game. But if you go in tonight and you lose because Nikola Jokic hits a 30-foot three at the buzzer, to me, it's not like, oh, man, what a terrible loss.
Well, I think,
If you go hang with Denver in this spot, I'm in.
Okay.
Like, that's all I need to see. A win would be great. And that's why I'm going into tonight going, can they win 1,000%? Will they? I don't think I'd bet on them to win. But if you do, man, you're looking at win of the year.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at tonight. And if you lose by a couple, just don't get mollywop. Don't go throw your jerseys on the court and be like, okay, well, this is a schedule loss. We're not going to win this one. I don't think they will. I don't think that's their mindset.
I'm okay if they get to the mid-third quarter and you just see the legs, you know, go away.
Yeah, sure.
I'm okay if I see that. And then if that is the case, like, I need to see Kevin Huerter step up. I need to see Trey Lyles step up and try to give the team a lift. Mm-hmm. Keon Ellis off the bench, Devin Carter off the bench. I need to see those guys step up and make a difference in that moment and give your team a fighting shot to recover and come back into the fourth quarter and give yourself one more chance to win a game.
This cannot be one of those. This cannot be like last night where you get 6.5 minutes of Alex Len, 6-ish minutes of Kevin Huerter, and 3.5 minutes of Devin Carter.
No.
You need more than that. And if Kevin Herter's hitting shots, he'll be on the court. If Devin Carter comes in, hits a couple shots, gets a couple steals, plays good defense, he'll stay on the court. Anything he can do to relieve some of the pressure on guys who played 37 plus minutes last night, which is 4 of the 5 starters. You need it. You certainly need it tonight. DeMar played 39 minutes last night.
Whew.
That's tough.
Go for the win, man.
Starters tonight, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis for Sacramento. For the Nuggets, no Aaron Gordon in the starting lineup since he's come back from an injury?
No.
So it looks like it'll be Jamal Murray playing alongside Russell Westbrook, who's found a nice little role in Denver. Christian Brown, Michael Porter Jr., and Nikola Jokic, the starting five for Denver. It looks like Denver's mostly healthy. The Kings, still no injuries to report. Daron Holmes tore his Achilles. He is obviously out. Vlatko Konkar is also out with a knee injury. Konkar.
I think you're right.
I concur.
Okay.
And then matchup of the game is an easy one.
Oh, yeah.
Two of the best centers in the league going at it.
What are you talking about? The best centers. It's the number one versus number two three-point shooter in the league.
Okay.
Domantas Sabonis, number one. Nikola Jokic is number two. And three-point percentage.
Two of the great perimeter players we have, Domantas Sabonis and Nikola Jokic.
The best two shooters in the game. Tonight.
Yeah, man. Now, anytime these guys go up against each other, it's just they guard each other well. They're both so skilled. It's if you like good basketball, watching those two match up is fun. And that's an easy matchup of the game. It's going to be every time they play.
Yep.
Everybody makes a big deal about the Jokic-Embiid thing because they were in the MVP conversation a couple years ago. But Sabonis is the one who actually plays against Jokic every time they match up. So
that's right.
Salute to Domas. Salute to Nikola Jokic. Two of the very best point centers in the game. I can't wait to watch them go at it in Denver. All right. James is there. James is there. I'm Kyle. Kings opening a brutal 6-game road trip tonight in Denver. You also got the Knicks, you get the Timberwolves, you got the Thunder, and I think the Sixers and Nets are sprinkled in there
in
as
the
well.
Middle.
That's a tough 6-game trip. It begins tonight. We'll have keys to victory for the Kings over the Nuggets for you coming up here in a bit on ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader. Of course it is. I want to do Kings trade stuff.
Okay.
And Mark Stein in his Substack.
Mm-hmm.
In his Substack, had some reporting that pushed back on your reporting, R.E. Cam Johnson.
Sort of pushback, but yeah, go ahead.
So, we can go through all that. What does it mean for the Kings? What did he report? You know, what's real, what's not? We can go through all that. My question is, when and where are we going to beat the crap out of Mark Stein for this? I'm ready to throw hands.
I'm not flying to Dallas. Well, we'll get an opportunity if we go to All-Star Weekend in a couple of...
Yeah, we'll see you at All-Star Weekend, Mark.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm joking. Mark Stein does a great job at his Substack. Go subscribe while you're subscribing to the Kings Beat at thekingsbeat.com. Okay, go ahead, James.
Yeah, so I don't actually, like, whatever Mark said yesterday, we can go through it right now. This is from Mark Stein. The Sacramento Kings have been frequently mentioned this month as an aggressive trade suitor for the Nets sharpshooter Cam Johnson. But league sources told the Stein line on Wednesday that there have been no discussions between the Kings and Nets regarding Johnson for weeks. Sort of say that the Kings at this juncture do not see a pathway to a workable Johnson deal with the Nets. There's obviously still time for that to change with 2 weeks left. Okay, so look, whether it's today, whether it's the last week, whether it's 3 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. The Kings and Nets have exactly what I've said. They understand what the other one wants.
Okay.
And they have a very clear image of what they're willing to go, what they're willing to give up, and what they're not. And it's the same thing. They had negotiations before the Dorian Finney-Smith trade with the Nets about Finney-Smith, from what I know. And they've had conversations about Cam Johnson with that team multiple times. Like, whether it happened 3 days ago, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But whether it happened 3 weeks ago, it's still, they both know exactly what the other one wants in a trade. And so they have an impasse, and that's why there has not been a trade,
right?
Which is exactly what I said. There's like,
and at some point, discussions are going to stop when you reach that point of, this is, if you're the Nets, like, this is our floor for Cam Johnson.
Yep.
And the Kings go, well, this is our ceiling for Cam Johnson. And if those two things don't match up, there's no need to stay on the horn trying to talk one another off this.
Of course. Right. Of course. And, like, again, we're talking about, from what I know, draft compensation. And the Kings aren't willing to go where they want to go. And so the Kings have said, hey, like, is there not a pathway forward? Okay, maybe there's not a pathway forward today. But the NBA, everything changes from one day to the next. I mean, 12 games ago, the Kings had a different head coach and were five games under 500. Like, the world comes at you fast in the NBA. And for me, like, look, it's still the same exact story that it has been with the Nets. The Kings and Nets cannot come to a common ground. If there was a common ground, it would have happened a month ago. Because that's when it was, like, super hot and heavy.
Yeah.
Like, this could happen anytime. And then all of a sudden, like, got super quiet. Like, whether they've talked in the last week or not, I don't know. And, like, whether Evan Siddery's report that there's a plan A and a plan B, like, I don't know. I haven't been told that there's a plan A and a plan B.
You'd hope, honestly, you'd hope there is, and maybe a plan C and a plan D and a plan E.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So when we write about the potential for Cam Johnson to come to Sacramento, it's because there are reports out there, and, like, I have knowledge that they have had conversations multiple times about this specific player. Like, the fact whether, again, they've talked in the last couple of weeks or not, we can have some conversations on what that means and what that doesn't mean.
Sure. Like, that's semantics.
Yeah, it is semantics.
My favorite idea here is the Kings not having a plan B. And Monty and Wes going, all right, well, couldn't come to an agreement with the Nets. Okay, thanks, Nets. All right, we'll see you. All right, we're done.
Oh, man. All of our hopes and dreams.
Plan A went down the drain. Now
all
what do
of
we
our
do?
Hopes and dreams. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, like, sort of the last thing that Stein says on this, word is that Sacramento is actively engaged with other teams on separate trade concepts. Yes. I mean, that's why
concepts of a plan,
why you hear a John Collins, name come up. It's why you hear Kyle Kuzma's name come up. It's why, The Kings have been attached to different people. It's why the betting lines on certain players landing in Sacramento are higher than others, because there are conversations that happen all the time. And I fully expect them to have conversations. And like, look, there could very well be a deal that none of us have seen that or thought of, like conceptualized, that all of a sudden happens. And you're like, where did that come from?
Right.
I mean, that's a Sabonis deal. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Like, we're sitting here watching, we're Ben Simmons watch. Like, what's going to happen? Like, all this stuff. Are they going to give a Fox? Are they not going to give a Fox? Is Harrison Barnes going there? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, Domantas Sabonis, Sacramento Kings. We had heard rumor of it like 4 months earlier.
Right.
But it had really gone dormant. So that's where it's like a lot of this is the same thing.
And to that point, that could happen with Cam Johnson.
Yeah.
Maybe the Nets are like, hey, we need a one, but maybe they get to February 6th at 11:58 a.m. Pacific time, 2 minutes before the deadline, and then they go, all right, well, nobody's even offering a first, so we'll call the Kings and see if they'll do top X protected.
Yeah.
And the Kings go, great, done.
Yeah. Well, that and, like, the Kings are very limited in what they can offer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, they can do unprotected picks. They, you know, the initial conversations, from what I had heard, was that Brooklyn was looking for 2 first-round picks. Maybe that's still the case, but we talked a little bit about this, you know, yesterday about the report that came out. I think it was 2 nights ago. Where, you know, at one point the Wizards were looking for 2 first-round picks for Kyle Kuzma. And then last season they were looking for a first-round pick for Kyle Kuzma. And now right now where you sit, they'll be lucky to get a second-round pick for Kyle Kuzma. They'll be lucky to get it.
Yeah.
And get out from underneath the contract. And that's because Kyle Kuzma has not played all that well. But, hey, don't cross him off your list. There's always a possibility the Kings go back one more time to the Kyle Kuzma experience. And because he's clearly at a point where he would like to start somewhere new. And
we didn't even talk about the dap with Vivek at midcourt the other day.
Well, if you're going to go dap up
Sunday,
if you're going to go dap up an owner and show everybody 17,000 fans plus cameras that you're going to go dap up an owner, you probably shouldn't go 3 of 15, fall down like 4 times in the middle of the court and turn the ball over 4 times.
Yeah, you got to play better.
Well, I mean, that's
the
problem.
And after the game, he was like, no, it's non-basketball stuff, like da-da-da-da. If you were going to do that,
yeah.
If I was Damian Barling, D'Lo, D'Lo and Casey, coming up at noon. I love the idea that somebody's listening to this program and doesn't know who D'Lo and Casey are. D'Lo and Casey, the homies, right?
Yeah.
That's like, if I was going to come in here, if I didn't work here, and I just wanted to say hi to D'Lo and KC.
Mm-hmm.
If I was trying to make a show of the fact that I'm in Sacramento, I would come in here during their show. I'd dap them up on their show. I'd say, hey, you know, all right, I got to go. You could easily just wait in the hallway, wait underneath the arena, or in this case, outside of the studio.
Yeah.
And say hi to him. Be like, hey, guys, just really wanted to say hi. Good to see you. We have this great relationship. Hey, what's up? When you make a show of it, like you said, in front of cameras, in front of 17,000 people, in front of media, both Wizards and Kings media, you're doing that on purpose.
Well, of course. And just like, they're so close that he turned down the Sacramento Kings 2 summers ago and decided to go back to Washington,
right,
where he knew the team was going to be bad, and chose to go and play there.
Right.
And
was a, I hate doing this, did I make up in my brain that there was a rumor or on draft night they were like really close to acquiring Kyle Kuzma?
There's always a rumor that they're really close to acquiring. I mean, they had him.
Was that not a thing? Like on draft night, there was like,
there were rumors around draft day.
Reports all around that
that they might have been back into conversations with the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma. But again, go back to, like, they had Buddy Hield traded to the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell. Like, it was a done deal.
Man.
And the Wizards.
Man, what a
swept
sliding
in
doors moment.
And brought Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. That like, literally, the deal was done.
I forgot Russell Westbrook played for the Wizards.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then he played for the Lakers, and Buddy Hield was later traded to, well, I don't even remember where Buddy was traded to. Oh, Indiana.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. But again, that was like a moment in time where, like, Kyle Kuzma has been attached to the Kings forever. But look, not everybody in the Kings organization, from what I know, likes the idea of Kyle Kuzma.
Sure.
The players, like I've heard, do like the idea of Kyle Kuzma, or at least there's enough players in there that like Kyle Kuzma. And we're like, yeah, we would take Kyle. That's fine. But there's also people that are like, the analytics on this dude are awful.
Right.
Awful.
Right.
So why would we, why are we going to get a super inefficient player? And then he shows up and looks exactly like.
Right. Which matters. Super which matters.
Oh, yeah.
Comes into your arena. If you're the front office and you've got different people in the front office, maybe you're split 50-50.
Yeah.
And he comes out and plays the game he played on Sunday. That 50-50 yes-no is more like 80-20 no-yes.
Yeah.
That stuff matters.
It's like if you were to, like, for Christmas, buy your kid a car, and you walk outside, everyone's all excited, and, like, all the tires are flat, and the car doesn't turn over, and you're like, hey, thanks, Dad. I mean, that because that's where I think a lot of Kings fans are at this point, like, looking at Kuzma, like, has anyone else looked at his numbers? Has anyone else watched him play?
Yeah.
Now we got to see him play the one time a year we get to see him in Sacramento, and it was like, oh, yeah.
3 years, a long time. He won a championship 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that and I'll just say it right, like super clear. We all watch Kyle Kuzma on a bad losing team, and everyone can say, oh, well, he's playing for the Washington Wizards. You know who else plays for the Washington Wizards? Jonas Valanciunas, and he busted your ass up.
Yep.
That's false. What you look like if you want to step out on the court and like, be part of something and show people that, you know, like, that you want to be part of a different organization. Hey, get me out of here. You go out there and put up 23 and grab 11 rebounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jordan Poole's trying too. Having a heck of a year.
Nope.
You know who else is having a heck of a year right now? Me with Underdog. Because it turns out my lineup from over the weekend that I thought I lost, turns out Chris Boucher did not get his rebounds because he got hurt. So he got removed from my lineup. So I just got my money back. So I won last night, despite what Securin DeBagley or whatever his name is now was trying to tell people in the Discord, the ESPN 1320 Discord, that I had lost. False. I had not. I did have DeMar DeRozan making lower than half a three-pointer because I thought he wouldn't need to shoot a lot of threes last night. He made three of them. That's fine. But because of the flex option on Underdog, which is daily fantasy, their pick 'em game, it's super easy. You pick higher or lower on at least two player stats. You can win up to 100,000 times your entry. It's that easy. So I had DeMar DeRozan lower than half a made three. He made three. That's fine. But because of the flex option, I can get one wrong in my lineup and still win. And so that's exactly what I did. Stephen Curry lower than 37.5 points, rebounds, assists. Easy work. He had 29. Malik Monk higher than 27.5 points, rebounds, assists. Easy work. He had 33. Domantas Sabonis higher than 18.5 points. That's light work. He had 26. I got 3 out of 4. I got my money back and then some. I've won two lineups in a row, and I'd love for you to play along with me on the Underdog app. Download it today. Sign up with the code KYLEM and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That is promo code KYLEM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. I might have a lineup for you later. We'll see. I don't know. What we do have for you is more Kings Nuggets talk. We'll revisit our keys to victory from last night. Plenty more basketball, plenty more coming up in the second hour right here on ESPN 1320. That's James and Kyle, and I'm not going to say the rest because the voice guys got us.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock. It's Jesse Tapia in for the handoff today. I forgot to let everybody know that.
Oh.
That's the thing I forgot to do this morning.
Okay.
I was so consumed with prep for our show that I forgot to let everybody know that their schedules are all changed. Well, that's cool. Okay. That's a nice thing for me to do.
Well.
I got to do that right now.
Oh, so Jesse doesn't know yet.
No, he should. I'm just going to text him that, and once he confirms, I'll let D'Lo and Casey know. Hopefully they're listening.
Oh, okay.
And they'll find out this way.
Yeah.
But still, I'm going to text them because that's the right thing to do, and I did the wrong thing earlier. Just so you know, on the rundown, James, going to pull the curtain back a little bit. Just so you know, on the little sheet that we use to prep our show, mm-hmm. we're going to flip in the 11 o'clock segment. We're going to flip the two things.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I assumed.
Okay, yeah. Very good. We're going to revisit our keys from last night's game and find out how the Kings won and whether they listened to us. Mm. When we did our keys to the game, we'll be doing keys to the game tonight, coming up in a little bit. But we're revisiting those now from the Warriors game. James, your first key, please.
My first key from last night's game was continue to prove that there's no letdown in this team. Mm-hmm. And I think initially we felt a little bit of a letdown. Like
definitely.
It looked like that they weren't the team, you know, they weren't going to have a good night. They didn't have the energy,
mm-hmm.
but they figured it out. And so that's all I think at the end of the day we can ask that, you know, you figure out a way to get a win. And so I'm going to say that first key, like there was a little bit of letdown, but mm-hmm. they figured it out. They moved past it.
Yeah, they continue to not, and this is something you said earlier, and it's been the hallmark of the early portion of the Doug Christie era. They find different ways to win these games. And that's what it was last night. We went through all the stats. Like, you look at the box score, and the Kings should not have won last night.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you look at the traditional box score, but then you start digging into the numbers, and you start looking at some of the things that went right for them in the second half. They don't let go of the rope anymore. Even the Bucks game, where they got smashed in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They won the next three quarters, and had it down to, like, 11 with 6.5 minutes to go in the fourth.
Yeah, they
made that a
fight.
Game. They made that a game for the taking,
mm-hmm.
Or a gettable game, and that's I think something that, they continue to prove there's no letdown.
Yeah, I was watching Doug Christie last night in the post game press conference, and he was asked about like all of his starters playing major minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of looked like, well, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what the guys look like tomorrow. And to me, that was one of the first moments where it's like, hey, that's a former player saying, we got a big game tomorrow. And if somebody says they can't go, that's fine. Or if somebody says they need their minutes lightened, that's yep. fine. If not, I'm going to coach this game like I have every other game. And that's to win the ball game.
That's it.
Like, step up.
Yep.
That's it. Like, it's a privilege to play 82 games in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Every game you should look at as a privilege to make it into the league and play. I mean, Jimmy Butler keeps getting his paychecks taken away for those games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his privilege has been revoked.
Sure.
And so for these players,
suspended again. That's crazy.
Again, another two games. Yeah. So what are we up to? 9 games suspension.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for a guy who makes $50 million.
After coming back.
Yeah.
They didn't tack on 2 games.
You saw what he did, right?
Yeah, he was late for a team playing.
Yeah, and then just said, "I'll just fly there myself" or whatever, and they're like, "Yeah, whatever," but suspended. Yeah. So you get what I'm saying, though? Like, there's this moment where Doug Christie, like, realistically, it felt like a former player just looking at us like, if I have another, when he was a player, if I had a back-to-back, I'm not making an excuse. I got a game the next night.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, we fly to the next city, we play another game.
It's accountability.
Yeah.
It's a game-in, game-out accountability for you're going to have to show up, and you're going to have to play hard. And if you don't, we'll find someone else who will.
Exactly.
It's not a pre-planned, oh yeah, we're going to lighten your minutes tonight, or like, nah, you're just going to, you know, and we'll see how that plays out over 82 games, but for right now, it's super effective.
Well, that, and it's like, hey, look, if you guys show me that you don't have it, then I'm going to go to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, the plan is to go out there and play like we have every other game, and that's to win. And mm-hmm. my best chance to win is for some of you guys to play 38 minutes again tomorrow night. It's the way it goes.
Yep.
And so I just, there's a level of professionalism that he's expecting and a standard that he's expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't meet it, they're going to find somebody else who can.
And it's putting it on, because Mike Brown, I'm sure, had the same standard.
Yeah.
But doing so the way Doug is doing it, it's being presented more as you can do what you want. Like, you can. But you're letting yourself and the team down if you go, meh, not yeah. feeling it tonight. And nope. that doesn't even necessarily go for playing on the second night of a back-to-back. That goes for last night. You're down 18 in the third quarter, and you might just go, you know what, I'm just not really feeling, not our night tonight.
Yeah.
But if you got four other guys on the court with you who are like, it is our night, it forces you to get up to that standard and that level.
Well, that, and I think everyone talked about it. Oh, there's something about Doug. He's a former player, so he kind of knows what we've been through. He kind of understands it.
Yeah.
And then he's looking over at him like, hey, in my when I played in the league for 15 years, we didn't worry about a back-to-back because we played four games in five nights all the time, and that's the game.
Yep.
You go out there and you play the game because we love the game, and we're excited to be here, and we're putting on a show every night for the fans.
Yep. That's it. My first key was get up early and they'll quit. That didn't happen. In fact, they did the opposite. They fell behind a bunch. I don't think Golden State quit. They just stopped hitting shots and they just weren't good enough to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how it went. Number two for you.
Stop Steph and make someone else beat you.
Yeah, mine was put two or more bodies on Steph at all times. Boy.
It was brilliant.
That was as because we literally yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Said this is not when you throw two at Steph, because it used to be 2017. You can put two people on Steph, but then he's going to get it to Draymond, and Draymond is going to go downhill and think what you want about him. He's a very high level basketball player, very high IQ basketball player. He's going to go down and he's going to be playing 3-on-4 or 4-on-3, and he's going to kick it to Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant or Andre Iguodala or whoever it is. And now it's okay. Steph's going to get it to Dennis Schroeder.
Or Guy Santos.
Shout out to Guy, bro. He just plays
or
hard.
Or the kid Post.
I don't want to drag. Quentin Post. Had a nice little run last night.
There's a good little vibe about Quentin Post.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
Yeah.
And he's getting, it's Dennis Schroeder getting downhill with Trayce Jackson-Davis already in the lane. And it's like Andrew Wiggins. There's just not. So yeah, what they were doing was Keon picks him up full court, or De'Aaron, or whoever. And as soon as he crossed the timeline, you get doubled by Domas. And then he'd get rid of the ball, and then Domas and whoever else is guarding him would just stand there.
Yep. Wall him off.
Just, cool, you guys play 3-on-4. You enjoy that. We're going to stand here and make sure this guy gets 4 3-point attempts up.
Yeah.
One of which was a 35-footer.
Oh, yeah, and it was a 35-footer like, I can't get a shot off.
And it almost went in.
Yeah, I'm throwing it up now. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Leave me alone. Yeah. I'm going to shoot this.
And you know what's funny is... Matt Nahigian from 95.7 The Game, our sister station down there, the brand manager down there, tweeted like, I don't care the situation, I don't care the player, that's never a good shot. And honestly, when he threw that at the rim from 34 feet or whatever it was, I was like, yeah, not a bad shot. Maybe better than anything else he's going to get if they try and get into their offense.
Yeah.
And I'd rather him take that than Guy Santos take a corner three.
No, totally.
Anyways, the Kings did a phenomenal job.
And it
defending
was,
Steph last night.
Even when they got caught in switches, the Kings weren't switching the other guys. Mm-hmm. It was Keegan and Keon at the top of the key.
Yeah.
And it's like, go ahead and switch.
Yeah.
You're going to get one of our best two defenders no matter what. Go ahead and switch.
Yeah. And then if that gets uncomfortable, we're going to double.
Yeah.
Either way, you're getting rid of the basketball. Yeah,
if you catch Domas in one of those switches, we're just going to wall you off and run at you.
Yep.
Yeah, it was spectacular.
Really good. Really well executed. Yep. For sure. Number three for you.
My third key, let's see, get De'Aaron back in the scoring column. Mm-hmm. And that did not happen. And there has to be some concern that's brewing because he just looks off. And
I think he's hurting still.
Yeah, I think so too, man.
He just, his gait doesn't look right.
His pinky is totally jacked. We talked about that yesterday. Yeah, but his gait does look a little like he looks like he's beat up, like he's still trying to recover.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big fall. And, you know, and it's clearly impacted his scoring over the last, I think he had one game where he had 26 points, but outside of that, everything has been like at 20 or below. I think he's 3 or 4 straight games below 20, and he just looked beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tough.
He's finding different ways to impact the games, which is the sign of a great player. But if the Kings are going to be the maximized version of the Kings, like I said, they've raised their floor significantly. If they want to get to their ceiling, he's got to be 26 plus a night.
Yeah. No, I think so too. They need him back sort of scoring where he was before.
My last key was they needed Keegan to be aggressive. He wasn't really. He was good in the first quarter, but he was 1 of 5 from 3. He had 11 field goal attempts, which is as many as De'Aaron had. I expected him to be a little more forceful going to the basket more often.
Mm.
And when DeMar DeRozan's going to go 12 of 21, obviously you're going to pump the brakes a little bit. So not a huge deal. I just thought we'd see a bigger Keegan game, and we didn't.
I think the Warriors are a much better defensive team than we want to like give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did try to take away. Keegan did try to go at the rim a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
and then got walled off and had to like peel back out.
Yeah.
I think he did have a couple of nice dunks, and you know, like overall, he's still growing. It's just not at the pace that you're like, oh, he's there already.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting for it to like fully, like mature.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with Keegan anymore. I was the circumstances are strange. They're a little odd.
Yeah.
Because the talk in 22-23 was like, wow, the trajectory this kid is on, he's going to be their second best guy in short order. And now we're 3 years in or 2.5 years in, and he just kind of looks like, oh, he's... Offensively, he's just kind of largely the same guy. He's a better defender now, better rebounder now. He's impacting the games differently.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I keep kind of waiting for this, oh, man, Keegan's a 20-point-a-night guy, and I just don't know if he'll ever get there in this ecosystem.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Mm.
It's very possible, you know, adding DeMar DeRozan's one thing. And it's also like when you're weighing who you're going to add here at the trade deadline, if you're given three players to choose from, and you can see how each of those players would impact Keegan Murray differently. Cam mm-hmm. Johnson versus Kyle Kuzma versus John Collins.
Mm-hmm.
All of them would impact. Like, John Collins is going to come off the bench, but he's going to want to get a bunch of shots up.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Good Kuzma point. Probably going to want to get a bunch of shots up. Cam, probably not nearly as much. So maybe that would help him grow. But mm-hmm. then you're going to have two Keegan-type players. So interesting stuff.
Yeah. Interested to see how his development goes and what that means for obviously his contract coming up and the Kings moving forward.
Yeah.
But we have plenty of time to dive into that. Let's get into the Sacramento Kings and Denver Nuggets tonight. Ball Arena in Denver. The Kings kicking off a 6-game roadie, second night of a back-to-back. Is there a place you'd want to play less than Denver on the second night of a back-to-back?
No, it's the worst. Yeah, even DeMar talked about it last night. He said it was it's almost like it's a joke, like a running gag around the league. Like, it's a scheduling loss for a lot of teams. And this is the first time that DeMar DeRozan, since college, mm-hmm. has been on the West Coast. So, like...
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's one thing when you're in San Antonio and you've got to fly, you know, and mm-hmm. you gain an hour. I think that they're in a different time
yeah,
zone.
Yeah, they're mountain time.
Yeah, so... Like, that's one thing, but it's a whole other thing when you're coming from the West Coast. And, you know, again, when you're coming from Toronto, you're going backwards again.
Right.
You know, so those it doesn't hurt as bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is the first time he's been on the West Coast. And
it's always interesting hearing different players talk about adapting to the altitude.
Mm-hmm.
And how different NFL teams try to do it, too. Because if you go play in Mexico City, the elevation in Mexico City at the stadium there is just insane.
Yeah, Aztec.
Yeah, and so you get the 49ers went and trained at, I think, the Air Force Academy to try and get into elevation. But then there are teams that say, don't do that. Like, you're supposed to get there 48 hours before, because you don't want to adapt too much. There's the science behind it is so odd. But hearing different players talk about how there are some players who will say, like, yeah, you feel it right away. There are other players who are like, you don't feel it in the first burst. It's when you go sit and then have to get back out on the floor that you really feel.
Oh, yeah.
Or the first time out when you're trying to catch your wind and it's like, oh my God, I can't. So that'll be interesting to watch tonight and see if it has an impact on the game. What will impact the game is if the Kings follow our keys to victory, which we'll get into now. James Hamm, key number one for a Sacramento Kings victory tonight against the Denver Nuggets.
Let the bigs battle.
Okay. Like,
I want to see an epic Domantas Sabonis, Nikola Jokic, like, knockdown, drag out.
Give me dueling triple doubles.
Yeah, dueling triple doubles. Oh, spectacular.
I would love that.
I want both of them to go 3 of 5 from three. Go out there and prove that you're the best shooters in the league from behind the arc.
How many, if I told you over under 5.5 combined made threes? for Domas and Jokic tonight.
Over under 5.5 made threes. I'm going to take the over.
Okay. Over 5.5. I dig it. Yeah, man. This is the one. And the thing with the Kings is I don't want to leave Domas necessarily on an island. You got to throw different looks at Jokic, because if you try one thing, it might work for a minute,
mm-hmm.
and then he's going to figure it out, and then he's just going to carve you up. So how the Domas-Jokic battle we talked about, it, that's our matchup of the game, all that, but how the Kings go about defending Jokic outside of just Domas,
mm-hmm.
it will define the game for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And like, look, the Kings have other, like Alex Len is had a, he does all right against Jokic. And for that matter, Trey Lyles is a problem because mm-hmm. he drags Jokic outside. So the Kings have different looks to throw at Jokic, but mm-hmm. man, he is so good.
Really good player.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be really fun. Like I said, if you're one of those people that's like, I want real basketball, you want passing, shooting, skill, rebounding. This is the one to watch. Number one for me, slow the game down. I want a lot of DeMar DeRozan tonight. The Nuggets are super athletic, and you're going to need your legs late in the game. You talked about it earlier, mm-hmm. how, you know what, if you lose your legs midway through the third quarter, yeah, that happens. But I think if you slow the game down, I think you can extend yourself on the back-to-back, in the altitude. It's going to be really tough. I don't need to see, like obviously in the half court, you want to play with pace. But it doesn't have to be every shot, rip down, get into the front court. I don't need to see all that. Slow it down a little bit. It's all good.
Okay.
Don't let them get out and run with their athletes, because I don't think you can hang with them. So.
Yeah, I love that. I do think that there is some value to using De'Aaron Fox and the pace that he plays at.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he isn't playing at the same level that he has lately. Sure. So I'm intrigued to see what that looks like.
I believe your second key has to do with De'Aaron Fox. It's good radio by you.
Yeah, it's like, find De'Aaron Fox. Like, you got to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs to snap out of his funk. And we'll dive into this later, probably tomorrow. But, like, his January swoon every year is difficult. And mm-hmm. he really does a lot of damage to his all-star potential mm-hmm. by his play in January, and we're seeing it right now. And so I'm hoping that he can wake up out of it. But again, the last couple of games, like, the shot's not there. You know, he's down to 25 point something points per game, off of what his high 26.9 like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just doesn't look like himself. And I think the team needs to push him. They need to say, okay, hey, look, man, like, you are the leader here, and mm-hmm. we need you to find your game real quick.
Yeah. I'm going to piggyback off that with my number two. We talk about the bigs, Sabonis, Jokic, great players, obviously. Jamal Murray has had his moments. Russell Westbrook, stamped Hall of Famer. I need De'Aaron Fox to go be the best player on the court.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to, these are the kind of games where we talk about it in the playoffs. Like, in the playoffs, it's just like, you know what? You're up against it. You need your dude to be that dude. I need that from De'Aaron tonight. I don't think they win the game if he's scoring 12 points and shooting it 11 times.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm just following up with yours. De'Aaron needs to be the best guy on the floor.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's a tall task, because there's a lot of great players on the court, whether mm-hmm. they're older or whether, you know, they're big men mm-hmm. versus guards yeah. or whatever. Like, there have been so many nights the last, like, 2 weeks where he's like the fourth best player on the floor.
Yeah.
And that's a little alarming.
Yeah, and maybe Jokic's stats are better and all that. Like, it's really hard to outplay Nikola Jokic in a game. But just down the stretch, put your stamp on the game.
Yeah.
Make people go, wow, what a performance by De'Aaron Fox. Like, that's what I would like to see. Number three for you.
The us against world mentality. Doug Christie keeps preaching this, especially when you go out on the road. It's like, he said last night, it's two busloads of people that lock arms and hug each other and move as one. And that's something that he just keeps preaching. And like, look, if you're going to be an excellent team, if you're going to move up the standings, you have got to lock in, not just at home, which they've already done with the 7-game win streak, but on the road as well, and just keep plugging away. Nobody feels bad for you. The road is like, it can be a dark place for mm-hmm. NBA players and for NBA teams. But it's also a place where a lot of teams grow, you know?
Yeah.
And so you're hoping that that they figure out ways to bond and to get even closer as they like head towards the All-Star game and, mm-hmm. and you know, that break and then the last 25, 30 game sprint to the finish.
Especially if you can go like 4-2 on this trip. Especially yeah. if you start with a win tonight.
Yeah.
Man, be in a really good spot. Last key for me, move the ball. When you're in the half court, like I said, I know I said I want a lot of DeMar DeRozan, but you've got to move the ball. The Nuggets defense isn't great. You get them in rotation. You have enough scorers that you can find a lot of easy looks, whether it's on the perimeter or in the paint. So slow the game down for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the half court, got to have everybody touching the basketball.
Yeah, I agree. This is not a great defensive team, the Denver Nuggets, which I know just kills Michael Malone.
Oh, he's got to just hate it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but that's a product of how they've Bruce Brown gone, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, really good perimeter defender,
yeah.
gone, and it's just like Christian Brown, you're in, you're the guy now. Aaron Gordon, who's an awesome defender, has been banged up.
Yep,
he's now coming back off the bench, but like Russell Westbrook, not a great defender. Nikola Jokic is it's okay, but nobody's gonna mistake him for a DPOY.
He's a lot better defensively than people think, but they use him the right way as a defensive hub.
Yes.
And so he's just a big, like, bumper in the middle of the road.
You can't just put him in the pick and roll anymore and just gas him out.
Yeah.
You used to be able to do that. You can't do that anymore. Nuggets favored by 8.5 points tonight.
Whew.
I think the Nuggets are going to win.
Okay.
That's a line to me that says the Nuggets are going to win. I kind of want to take the Kings to cover, though.
Okay. I don't know. I'm of the opinion that it could be very much like the Bucks game.
Yeah.
If Denver shows up and punches them in the face right away, then there's I want to see how they react, but there is a possibility you run out of gas midway through the third and this thing gets a little wonky, a little out of control.
Yeah, and Denver's playing really well lately, too. They have won their last three. They've won 7 out of 8, 8 of their last 10.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, they've been good.
Yeah, it's a tough one for the Kings. I like being optimistic and I like picking them to win, but I can't in good faith do that tonight.
Yeah,
hope they prove me wrong.
Okay.
It'd be great if they did. We'll be locked in, and of course we'll break this game down on the Insiders on this very radio station at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
There it is.
We'll dive into the Kings Nuggets matchup. What went right? What went wrong? We'll revisit all our keys that we just gave you. But if the Kings follow the keys that we just gave them, they're going to win. So hopefully they were listening.
That's right.
They're probably asleep.
Yeah, I would assume a lot of them are still asleep.
At 12:30 Mountain Time right now? Mountain Time's the weirdest time zone, by the way.
It is. It's very strange.
It takes up like a 6-mile strip
sliver
of the United States.
Sliver of the United
States. It's like Colorado and a little bit of Arizona, and that's it.
Yeah, it's like the A and the Louisiana Purchase. Like just
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what it is. All right, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Again, we'll break down all of the Kings Nuggets matchup tomorrow on the Insiders at 10 a.m. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube right here on ESPN 1320. That is Sacramento's sports leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
This sounds like a song they'd play before a basketball game.
No, this feels like that or like the closer's coming out.
This would be a good closer song.
Yeah.
It's Boombayah by Blackpink, if anybody cares.
They always play the Tsunami song, like coming out of the half, the Kings do. And me and Sean always look at each other and say, Tsunami. It's like a ritual every game.
For me and Matt George, it's Family Ties. Is that Baby Keem and Kendrick?
Sounds right.
I'm in it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what we always say. Because they play that everywhere. Every sporting event you go to, high school through the pros for like 2 years, that song was there. Anyways.
Right.
Shout out to In Arena Music and salute to DJ Elements, the Kings DJ. What a guy.
Shout out to him.
Love that guy.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's do mad props, and then we can talk about... We're not going to do our NFL picks today, because I want to save that bit for tomorrow.
Mm.
So I can text you the lines.
Well, I can just give you my picks now. I'll go Bills and Eagles there.
No matter the points?
Yeah.
Don't matter? Okay, nope. Jesse's going Bills Eagles. All right, cool.
Ooh.
We'll discuss that tomorrow, James. Right now, we'll dive into Mad Props.
It's time for Mad Props. So loud. I'm sorry, two games, two props.
Yeah, that's
which number will be higher? Mm-hmm. That's for Kyle and James to
decide. Jesse.
Here's Mad Props.
Someday I'll make a new one of these, but that day is not today.
One day.
That's a future Kyle problem. That's a summer project. That's going to be a summer project. Once the NBA season ends and we wrap this bit up, we'll
be good to
redo
go.
The intro. All right, very good. Again, the standings don't matter, but James Hammond first place. Jesse, I believe you're in second place.
No, I believe. If you're going to read them right. I'm in second. You're in last.
It's more if you're in first or second.
Oh, okay.
But I'm 99.8% sure. Yeah, because you have 12 fewer wins and two more losses.
I don't know. There's that 0.2%, so.
Anyways, here's what we're doing. Kings game tonight against the Denver Nuggets up against the NFL championship games this weekend.
Oh.
The AFC title game between the Bills and Chiefs and the NFC title game between the Commanders and the Eagles. So, James Hamm, we'll start with you. De'Aaron Fox points plus assists. De'Aaron Fox points plus assists or Eagles points against the Commanders.
I am going to go. Ooh. I think I'm going to go Eagles.
Okay. Jesse?
I'm going to go Eagles as well.
Wow. So I went De'Aaron.
Okay.
Because at some point he's going to have like 25.
Are we sure? He seems like he's pretty banged up right now.
I think at some point, watch him not play. That's probably what's going to end up happening.
I can see 30 from Fox. I just think.
So 30 is about the number that I landed on. Okay. I think Jalen Hurts' knee is messed up. And when you remove the rushing element from Jalen Hurts' game, I don't love the Eagles' offense.
Counterpoint, Saquon Barkley.
No doubt. We have a Saquon Barkley thing coming up here as well. But if Jalen Hurts is compromised where the Commanders can be like, okay, cool. If he wants to drop back and pass, we're fine with that. We're going to commit everything humanly possible because there's no Jalen Hurts threat of running. The passing game is going to be super down. So here, everything is just towards stopping. I think they can still score. I think De'Aaron gets to the 30 range. I don't think the Eagles get to 30 points.
I'm feeling like 18.6 assists from De'Aaron Fox. See what happens.
Okay.
I think the Eagles will probably score around 32, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think the Eagles will be in the 30s. Just because it seems like that game is going to be like crazy like last week.
Okay, that's fair.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Number two, Jesse Tapia. Producer of D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon.
It's true.
The Kings' high scorer, so whoever it is, whoever has the highest point total for the Kings, or Patrick Mahomes' pass attempts against the Bills.
I'm going to go Kings' highest scorer. I think someone's going to have to be a superhero today.
Oh. I'm going to go Mahomes. Oh, no. What's the weather? Do we know?
Don't.
It's Kansas City, so it's cold.
I'm going to guess the weather's not going to be good. Okay, I'm going to go Kings' high scorer as well.
Here we go, James.
That's the route I went. Kansas City weather, Sunday, 34 degrees, partly cloudy. That's a high of 34.
That's basically like 75.
Low of 25. Yeah, it's balmy, bro. They're good. It's
balmy,
fine.
34.
I also, James, you said you're going with Kings?
Yeah.
That's also the route I went because I think we're going to see the Bills and Chiefs both try and like out possession each other.
Okay.
A lot of ball control. And so I think you're going to see Mahomes not drop back and throw it a ton.
It kind of felt like a lot the last of Kareem game. Hunt. They're like, oh, let's make sure Mahomes doesn't have an opportunity. And it's like, that team really doesn't score that much anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind
of
weird.
Teams get out of their heads when they play the Chiefs. They are so terrified of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I think this is the Bills finally get it done, though.
I do, too. If they don't, they might have to blow it up.
Yeah.
Trade Josh Allen. It's not happening for you.
Oh.
It's not Patrick Mahomes. James Hamm, Malik Monk, points, rebounds, plus assists, or Saquon Barkley's longest run.
Oh, man, Saquon.
Yeah, same. Jesse?
See, I said that I think it was the last prop. Someone's going to be a superhero for the Kings. I'm counting on Malik Monk to kind of go off today.
Ooh.
But I don't know if I'm counting on Saquon to rush for 60, have a 60-yard run or a 30-yard run. I'm going to go Malik.
Wow.
Ooh, that's
wow.
I'm going to go Malik.
I love this for
you. Yeah, I'm going to go Malik.
I love this.
Malik Monk game today.
I also went Saquon because he had touchdown runs of 62 and 78 yards. And even if he doesn't have a huge game, I think if he has a 35-yard run, I think he'll cover the points, rebounds, and assists.
Probably.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm going against that. If it's 35, I feel pretty good about it.
Wow, okay. Moving on, James Hamm. Domantas Sabonis, three-point attempts. Again, this is tonight against the Nuggets.
Yes.
Domantas Sabonis, three-point attempts, or Josh Allen, total touchdowns. That's rushing, receiving, and passing.
Oh, man. That's a good one, Kyle.
That's a really good one. We might go bang on the number here.
I am going to say... Oh, Josh Allen.
Jesse?
Yeah, I'm going to go Josh Allen, too. This is like the Josh Allen game right here. This is a legacy game. I'm counting on you. The whole world's counting on you. It's a big old conspiracy with the Chiefs.
It's either,
I'm not saying I'm rooting for the Bills, but I think Josh Allen's going to have a good game.
It's either one touchdown or six. Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's either one and James Cook gets the other three or Josh Allen's going off.
Yeah.
Domas is going to take three or four.
So I went three for Domas in my brain, and I think Josh Allen can get four.
That's where I'm at with Josh Allen, too. Four. Okay. Four sounds good. Right.
We're all in on that one. Jesse, back to you. No, James, back to you. Jesse? James, we're just going to go to you.
Okay.
Keegan Murray rebounds or Jaden Daniels rush attempts?
Oh, I'm gonna go Keegan Murray because he had a really bad rebounding night last night.
Mm.
And I think the Kings are going to need him to rebound big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go Jaden Daniels.
I am too.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. He's going to, like, the Eagles are going to, I don't know like, the right way I want to say this, but more so like Jaden Daniels is going to have to kind of do a lot here or whatever.
Yeah, and the Eagles' defensive line is awesome.
Yeah.
The Commanders are going to be without Sam Cosmi, one of their starting offensive linemen. He tore his ACL. I think it's going to be a lot of got to bail, got to roll out. Mm-hmm. I'm exactly. gone. I think he gets like upwards of like 11, 12 rushing attempts in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Last one, Jesse. Keon Ellis, points, rebounds, and assists, or Travis Kelce targets?
This playoffs, I'll go Travis Kelce targets.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go Keon.
Nice. Okay.
All right.
I think Keon can score 12. If
like
it's
easy.
Jesse, you said it. It's the playoffs. Like, I'm going to bet on Travis Kelce to do.
He's kind of hibernates through the regular season, but once playoffs get here, he's always turning up.
Here's how I land on things like this. How dumb am I going to feel if I'm wrong? If I'm wrong because Keon Ellis goes for 12, like you said, James, and three rebounds, add an assist, he has 16 points, rebounds, and assists, and Travis Kelce only has 9 targets, I'm like, and I went with Travis Kelce, like, meh, all right, Keon had a big game, whatever. If I go the other way, and Keon has 5 points, 2 rebounds, and Travis Kelce has 13 targets, I'm
going to
feel real dumb.
Exactly.
Real dumb.
All right.
That's where I go on that. We'll revisit those on Monday. Speaking of Jaden Daniels, it's been the big topic of conversation this week around the NFL. You a tier one quarterback right now?
No.
No?
No, definitively no.
What does he have to do to get there? Is he top of tier two?
Play a couple years at least. He's got to do this for a couple seasons. Tier one is Mahomes,
okay.
Allen,
yep.
Lamar, Burrow.
Right.
Jaden Daniels is not that.
Is he the top of tier two? Because I don't know who I would rather have under center right now than Jaden Daniels outside of those four dudes.
I love Jaden Daniels, and I think he's legit, but I can't just push you to the front of the line after 1 year. Like, it's like if that makes sense. Like,
what
like
if
he
it's
plays
an,
well, but like...
Like an unprecedented first year.
It is, but like, so was like C.J. Stroud last year and all that.
No,
C.J.
That's
Stroud
true.
Was unprecedented, and then he had a sophomore slump.
But C.J. Stroud also didn't go to the NFC Championship game or the AFC Championship.
That's true,
game.
But he's not. I can't put him front of the line in tier two either.
Okay.
I feel like the name that keeps popping up right there is Justin Herbert. To be honest, even though he had the terrible playoff game, I still believe in Justin Herbert. I guess. Herbert's really good.
Fun fact about Justin Herbert and Jaden Daniels: Jaden Daniels already more playoff wins than Justin Herbert.
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm not going to put the rookie in the front of the line.
Would you rather have Jaden Daniels or Tua?
Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ask me if I'd rather have Jaden Daniels or Brock Purdy.
Would you have Jaden Daniels or Brock Purdy?
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Like, I can be honest. Like, Jaden Daniels is really good.
He's top 10? Comfortably top 10?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He feels like that.
Man, I don't know. You're right. It did feel with C.J. Stroud last year like, oh, he's taking
CJ's
over.
C.J.'s also really good, but...
But then, like you said, I think the Commanders have a better grasp of what they're doing with their team building than Houston does. Because Houston's offensive line's abysmal.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they did the right things there to ensure that C.J. Stroud was set up for success this year. But, yeah, maybe Jaden Daniels hits a wall next year.
I'm not putting Jaden Daniels in the front of tier two, but there's not too many quarterbacks I'd take ahead of
right.
him.
Right. Like, that's
but that ties into him by just being so young and so good, I guess, though.
Yeah.
But
this rookie class is insane. Did you see the offensive rookie of the year finalists?
There's Daniels, Nix. Who else? Brian Thomas.
Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Brian Thomas, Brock Bowers, and...
Who are we missing?
Oh, shoot.
There's a bunch of 1,000-yard receivers.
There's one more.
Why don't I just pull up the tweet?
Yeah, pull up the tweet for me.
Shout out to my guy, Chop Robinson, too. Got nominated for Defensive Player of the Year.
It's just an unbelievable rookie class.
Yeah, what did we have? Four wide receivers go for 1,000 yards?
Something like that. And then Brock Bowers might just be the best tight end in football already.
Yeah, just absolutely crazy.
Like, Jaden Daniels is going to win it. But you could make a case for Brock Bowers, I think, pretty easily. Malik Neighbors, who ended up having more catches, I think, than Brock Bowers.
I'm not sure.
Which is just insane.
Malik Neighbors also going to be really good, just the fact that who was throwing him the ball this year. And he's still
ridiculous.
Put up numbers. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I
think
that's
the biggest.
This
is going to be an all-time.
That's a surefire sign. He'll be really good.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see the Commanders, how they build from this, too.
Yeah, same.
Because I was watching them, like, last week, and I don't like their running back situation. Like, I if I'm going to pair...
You're not a Brian Robinson guy?
If I'm going to pair Daniels with somebody, I also want a speed back there.
Okay.
And I don't think they really have that. And, you know, so I think that they could mix it up a little bit. I don't hate Robinson, but especially I hate seeing like...
You don't not improve your running back position because of Brian Robinson.
No.
That's true.
And I don't like watching watching Josh Allen run between the tackles at like the 10. That was brutal to watch, just him getting crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't want Daniels to be in that situation. So I guess having a guy like Robinson, like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they also need somebody with speed.
I get your point with Josh Allen, but also let's Ray Lewis playing quarterback. Josh Allen, the way he's built, that's a middle linebacker. And anyone else, I'm like with James, like, yeah, maybe don't run the ball. Josh Allen's like, maybe not going to make this tackle right here.
And he get hit hard, though.
He does.
Yeah.
My cousin Devin has never been a big sports fan, but has family ties to the Bills. Like, he's trying to get into it, he's getting into it because of the Bills and Josh Allen. And he texts me and he's like, hey, the Bills beat the Chiefs earlier this year. Does that mean they're going to win the Super Bowl? And I want to be like, dude, I think Josh Allen is just so much of an alien that nothing is going to matter. Like, whatever the Chiefs do, whatever Steve Spagnuolo does, it's just not going to... He's going to be able to overcome that defensive advantage that the Chiefs have been able to create against all these teams lately. And the Chiefs offense is going to get exposed as this like pretty middling offense this year.
Yeah.
And the Bills are just going to run away with it. Mm. But I can't escape a half decade of the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes just figuring it out. Like, it's not logical. It doesn't. I don't have like empirical evidence. It's just.
They play clean football.
It goes back to, and they're going to get some calls. And it goes back to for me, what am I going to feel more dumb doing? Am I going to feel more dumb going, it's the Bills' year, they're going to beat the Chiefs and then have the Chiefs win? And I'm like, oh. Or am I going to feel more dumb if I bet on the Chiefs and like, oh, you know what? Yeah, hey, the Bills just figured it out this time. I'm going to feel way more dumb if I bet on the Bills and the Chiefs win. Because it would be like, of course, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's the playoffs. Of course they won.
You should have told your cousin, like, he needs to make a tattoo bet. Like, if the Bills win the Super Bowl, he has to have a tattoo of Josh Allen's face, like, on his calf or something. That's what you should have, like, tell him to push all in. Push all in,
so
bro.
He goes, so I shouldn't bet my life savings on the Bills. I was like, for sure, don't do that.
No. Do it. Cousin Devin, do it. Do it.
Like,
you're a bad influence.
No, Cousin Devin, you have a lot of sports fandom time to make up for. Like, yeah, you could use some hurt. All right, so yeah. If you win, great. But if you lose, like, welcome to the club.
Also, I want to let everybody know real quick as I try and awkwardly transition to the Kings because, Jesse, I want to loop you in on a conversation. As a fan of the NBA's finest team, the Boston Celtics, do you know what I'm not going to do because I'm a good person?
No.
Push an old lady over? I don't know.
Well, that, for sure. Just start naming all these.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. Yeah.
Are you not going to kick a dog?
Yeah.
I just saw this via the NBA history Twitter account.
Oh?
Do you know what happened 10 years ago today?
Today is January 23rd, 2015.
Yeah.
I don't know.
January 23rd, 2015.
Isaiah Thomas was a Celtic at the time.
Klay Thompson scored 37 points in a quarter against the Sacramento Kings.
I saw that game.
That was a Friday night.
I was there for that.
Yeah.
I was at a McDonald's.
I've got the highlights up right here. And I was going to pull them up and be like, hey, guys, remember this? I'm not going to do that.
I was at a McDonald's.
I'm not going to be petty.
After a high school football game, watching the little TV right next to the play place. Klay Thompson just lighting them up while making a McChicken.
That was insane. The most insane part of that was, and I want to move on to something different, but the most insane part of that was how many of those shots it was like, was it Ray McCallum and like Nick Stauskas, like in his jersey, like playing good defense.
Yeah, he was just throwing the ball up in the air.
It just didn't matter. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, you just like said it, like, Ray McCallum and Nick Stauskas.
Well,
that's tough, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
How legitimate was Klay Thompson's 37, really?
You know, that was when I was the Ray McCallum era was right before moved out of Sacramento and moved down to Arizona. And I was just all in on Ray McCallum at that time. Like, this guy's dope. I was there. I was part of the Ray McCallum hive. And don't act like you weren't. I know there are people in the chatty house right now that are like,
I really liked Ray McCallum. I'm surprised he didn't stick around the league.
That was it. He just looked like one of those guys. Same thing with Malachi Richardson. They seemed like those kind of dudes. It was just like, hey, you know what? This guy just kind of does the right stuff.
I can give you Ray McCallum. I can't give you Malachi Richardson.
I was like, yeah, I think they just kind of do the right. Like, they may not be great players. Justin Jackson, same thing. Like, I don't think they're going to be great, but they just kind of do the right stuff, and they're going to be in the league for 10 years. No.
You fall in love with those guys a lot.
Colby Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
Same deal.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up right now.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, so that's he scored 52, right? Yeah. 37 points in one quarter.
Oof.
Boy, there are some names on this Kings roster. Quincy Miller played 34 minutes for the Kings that night?
Is that not...
Is Quincy Miller getting 34 minutes on the Kings the entire season this year?
I don't even remember Quincy Miller really. He played 6 games for the Kings that year. Why would you play 34
6 games and you got 34 minutes in one of them?
Yeah. That's a very... Like the Coke machines on that team, Derek Williams?
Hey, can I tell you something about what Quincy Miller is up to?
Yeah, what's that?
First of all, 32 years old.
Is it a bad or a good thing?
He plays professional basketball.
Good thing.
I'm sorry. He last played for the San Miguel Beermen of the East Asia Super League and the Philippine Basketball Association.
Wow.
I would like a Beermen jersey.
That sounds like an experience.
Wow.
It definitely does.
That's crazy.
Hooping overseas just seems wild.
We can get Jack Cooley back on to talk about this.
Okay.
Because Jack Cooley in the Japanese league that he plays in is... Like he's going to get his jersey retired by his team.
Oh, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
He is an absolute icon over there.
Oh, yeah.
My brother used to live in Okinawa where Jack plays. My brother was in the military. He was stationed there. And he's at the mall. And he would send me photos of, like, just posters of Jack just, like, in Okinawa.
That's so fire, to be honest. Like,
It's so dope, dude. Yeah. It seems like he has such a good-ass time over there.
He's such a good dude.
I might just make my life in Japan, like, after basketball. Like, honestly, like, you guys, like, I'm Michael Jordan here. I'm just going to chill here the rest of my life.
That's like, amazing. You're just a legend.
Like, what? I'm going to go back home and pay for meals. Meanwhile, here I eat for free. Right.
There is a steakhouse named after him.
Is that a fact?
That is a fact.
Oh, yeah. I'm not coming back.
I'm not coming back.
Yeah,
Coach?
No chance. Yeah. No.
Shout out to our guy, Jack. We'll get him on the program.
What was your Kings conversation, though?
We'll revisit this again tomorrow. This is the time of year. Is this like I know I always say, call me at Christmas. This is the time of year where everything starts to feel real to me.
Like, as far as like who's legit and all that?
Yes. Like, the Atlanta Hawks playing well. It's like, okay, the Hawks are legit. The Kings, this time of year, you're playing well. It's like, oh, okay, I feel good about that team. Golden State, the opposite. Man, they are not playing well at this point of the calendar. I don't feel good about the direction they're headed.
Yeah, that's how I feel about the Lakers, too.
And this is exactly this time, the like last couple weeks of January is where everything separates.
Yeah.
Except for a team like the Celtics, where it's like, eh.
Yeah, they're just in neutral.
Yeah,
we're down the hill.
Call us in April.
Well, to be fair, they are 31-13. Like, it's not like they've just been like, just falling over. Like, they had a couple, like a month bad stretch, but like, they're fine.
You have to understand, I was in here... on this show talking about the Celtics like they were going to win 75 games this year.
See, and they did that last year. They coasted from game one to the end of the finals. They coasted.
Right, and I thought they didn't get the respect they wanted, and they were just going to go insane. But yeah, they did. They did have a bad month. They were... oh, never mind. I can't get their record here. But anyways, they lost a bunch of games through December.
Yeah, they weren't great.
But they've won their last two. They blew out the Warriors. They beat the Clippers in overtime last night.
Mm.
They got the Lakers tonight. Then they get the Mavericks.
Oh, Jalen says Boston is a 500 team in January. Your team's a 500 team, Jesse.
Damn, Jesse. You can just sit here and take that?
What am I going to do? My team sucks.
Oh, what do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and Casey?
Matt George, the Kings comeback. Kings.
A lot of
good vibes, yeah.
Love that. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James Hamm and I, we're done for the day. We will be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This show is called The Insiders. And until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water. Be nice, people.